Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, you brought us out of this past week, Father. And Lord, we come into this week, God, your Thanksgiving week, Father, to lift your name up above all others. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Now bless him. Bless him. Open your mouths up and bless him. We're not in here to be quiet. We're not a quiet church. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here to look at what somebody else has on. We're here to give him praise. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor, God. Lord, we enter in, Father. Lord, don't stop. Don't stop looking at each other. We're here to praise his name. It ain't even 11 o'clock. Praise his name. Have you praised him this week? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, we give you honor. We give you praise. Lord, you are my God. You're my King. Lord, you sent your son to die on a cross for me, Father. And Lord, we give you praise. Because I'm not how I was, Lord. I am the way you made me, Father. And Lord, today I stand before you, Father. This house stands before you, Father. Lord, to give you praise, God. Lord, we bless you, God. Lord, we glorify your name, Father. Lord, we give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father. Praise team, give the praise team a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Father. If you have not realized, James McElroy is not standing in front of you. Y'all can smile. Amen. Lord, we thank you for everything that's going on. You can kind of cut me down a little bit in the monitors up here, if you don't mind. Couple of announcements, couple of things that's going on. Please do not forget tonight. What's tonight? Oh, we're getting our eat on. Come on now. You got to be excited about that. Amen? Who in here does not like to eat? Who has missed a meal lately? Oh, come on. We're in America. We don't miss meals now. We got McDonald's. Zaxby's. Praise the Lord for Zaxby's. Hallelujah. A couple of things. One other thing. We're having a Christmas choir. I didn't know if you guys knew that or not. So all you guys that can sing, everybody raise your hand. Everybody can sing. You just don't want to hear me sing. But we've got a new revised, I guess it's a new revised schedule for everything. Brother Dave has that. So today after service, please come see him and get the schedule. We need people singing. Don't y'all like to have a choir? We had it last year. Wasn't it beautiful? Isn't it awesome? And I just love it. I just love it. So, Pastor is actually preaching and doing what he does best. He's preaching the word. I know he's a great husband. I know he is. That man can preach. Mary had a little lamb. We all know that. Amen. And you get me today. I feel for y'all. I do. If you turn in your Bibles, this is Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Isn't this the greatest time of the year? Who has their Christmas tree up? Oh, I knew y'all would. I knew it. I mean, we get to Thanksgiving and we're like, forget the turkey. We want the Christmas tree, you know. Amen. Hey, we're going to have some fun this morning. Amen. It is 11. And, you got to beware the preacher that gets up that doesn't have the clock. You know, you always have to have the clock on Sunday morning because I respect your time and I thank you for being here this morning. I thank you for coming to the house of God. And we're going to turn to Psalms 100. That's where we're going to be today. I was in MIP a couple of weeks ago and kind of worried about, you know, Lord, what are you? Because, you know, I don't want sermons. I want a message. You know, we have so many sermons. We can get a sermon on YouTube. But it's time for us to have a message. So I just pray for the Lord to give us a message. And just Psalms 100, you know, it's kind of learning this when I was real little. And I was like, Lord, Psalms 100. I was listening to Clarence Tillman absolutely preach. And we were as far away from Psalms 100 as we could get, and Psalms 100 dropped in my spirit, so here we go. Psalms 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and a sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And into his courts with praise. You guys sound awesome. Be thankful. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And this morning, I want to talk about two words that is in the fourth verse. Be thankful. Be thankful. If you would bow your heads. Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this Sunday, Lord. Lord, take my inadequacies, Lord, and use them for your glory. Take my failures and my shortcomings, Father, and use them for your glory, God. We give everything to you this morning. Teach us to be thankful. Teach us to look to you for everything, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Thank you very much. You know, I always like to start with a video. I always like to start with something. So I found a little poem funny. I let Josh read it this morning just to make sure it was okay. And he just looked at me and laughed. And I said, that's what I want. So just to start out your Sunday morning, to start Thanksgiving week, a little poem. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have ne'er a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you we're going to have fun this morning. Amen. So, you know, we talk about, you know, Thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise. I love the King James. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Every time when I was growing up, my mom, hey, mom, she would sit here and she'd tell me, stop making all that noise. Can't you kids be quiet? And, you know, we look at church and, you know, we look at church and we say, it's time to be quiet. It's time to, you know, stop looking at the phone and stop looking at fantasy football and all that kind of stuff. I'm just messing with my buddy. You know, but it comes a time when you got to make a noise. You got to make a shout. Because if you're quiet in all of your problems, guess what you're going to keep having? Problems. There comes a time where the Bible says the violent take it by force. There comes a time when you've got to make a noise unto the Lord. You've got to shout and you've got to give him praise. And David sitting here, make a joyful noise. You know, you think about joyful noise. What is a joyful noise? I'm thinking about that. What I'm searching that. What is a joyful noise? Something I like to hear. I like to hear somebody that can sing, sing. I don't like to hear somebody that cannot sing, sing. Joyful noise. Like, you don't want to hear me singing. You know, ask Josh. He sits right beside me on Sunday mornings. He don't like to hear me, I'm telling you. But I like to sing unto my Lord. I like to give him praise. I like to be bold in him. There comes a time where you've got to be bold. You can't be shy. You can't worry about the things that's gone on in the world or in the past or the news. You've got to be bold unto your Lord. And if you're not bold, if you don't go after the promotion's not going to come after you. If you don't go after the job and study and get prepared for that job and that interview you're going to do, that job and interview's not going to come after you. You have to be bold. You have to be prepared. You got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, you got to think about it. In nature, we have, you know, we're in Peru, and one of the great things, when we come out of the jungle, we're so hot and wore out, and we're tired, and we're hunting for hot water. Thank the Lord for hot water and a shower. But Joe takes us to the ocean with that cool breeze on it. And you don't realize, when you've been in a hot jungle and your body's acclimated to that heat, and then you get to Lima, which is really cold, how your body adjusts, it's just cold, and you wear, those people are covered up in coats like I don't know what. And you get to the ocean, and you hear the ocean crashing against the waves and the rocks in there, and you hear that thing, and you got to think about it. That noise has been going on since the beginning of time. And you got to think about that. That has been happening since the beginning when it was made. You know, water, you will never go to this point. You're going to stop right here, and you're going to make a sound that people will come visit you to hear. And you think about that. God made sounds for us to enjoy. I love to listen in the morning, birds chirping around my house. I just absolutely love it. I've got enough squirrels around my house that I could feed about 100 people. I'm serious. I've got squirrels everywhere. And they sit there and start barking and all that, and I'm just, man, that sounds awesome. And you just listen to the nature of what God made, and you got to think about it, of a cry of a baby. And, you know, you young parents think about this, and I think about it when I look back. When babies are small, the cry of a baby is joyful. That baby is like telling you, I am here. You know, I am here. Come take care of me. Come feed me. Change this diaper and come take care of me. You know, you got to think about when that baby's crying, but that is a joyful noise. Because there was a story, I tell a story, I hadn't thought about it until I got up here. There was a time when my oldest daughter, Rebecca, was having a hard time breathing. You know, we would lay in bed and all of a sudden we'd listen to her stop breathing. And, you know, there's times when we'd jumped up and like, are you breathing? You know, it would just bother us. And we found out that her tonsils had grown so big it was cutting off her airflow. And it would scare us to death. And being able not to hear a child breathe, the noise, a joyful noise, you know, it kind of scares you. But let me tell you something. When we were, after the surgery, we found out Rebecca was allergic to everything. You know, we were walking after the surgery. We were walking and we were listening to a kid scream. We were like, man, that kid's cutting up. And I remember that kid's cutting up. And I remember Penny looking at me and was like, whoa, that kid's in trouble. I don't know who that is. I'm glad that's not Rebecca. And the closer we got to it, she looked, because a mom knows her baby's cry. You know, she looked at me and said, that's Rebecca. And she took off running. And I'm running behind her. And we bust in the room and she's just screaming and pulling things out. And they had gave her some morphine and she's allergic to it. She was breaking out in hives. And, you know, I just grabbed her around and she's screaming and crying. And, you know, you think about that cry that she has and we're like, look at it. And finally, you know, Penny's crying. Everybody's crying. I'm holding Rebecca down, and she's trying to pull all the things out of her. And I see these welts going up her arm, getting up here. And I look at the nurse, and I guess that daddy, that meanness in me that just took over and said, if you don't get the doctor right now, I'm fixing to put my fist through your face. And I, honest to God, I said that. And Penny's like, do something, do something. The doctor came out. He was actually doing another surgery. He came out and looked at her and said, ooh, she's having a reaction. What'd y'all give her? And it's like something morphine. Well, you know, give her so much Benadryl. They gave her Benadryl, and you could actually watch when that Benadryl went up her arms. It just went away, and then there was calm and silence, and everything went out. We found out right then, you know, she was allergic to things. You know, you got joyful noise. You got to understand there's a noise that you enjoy. There's a noise that you don't. The devil likes to hear the noise that you make when you're in pain. The devil likes to hear the noise when he gave you something. I've got them. I'm going to get them. They ain't going to go to church this morning. They will not lift their hands up and praise. They're going to sit there and just grab that pew and think about their problems. But your joyful noise, once you lift your hands and once you start praising him, once you put those things behind you, and all of a sudden, guess what? They get smaller and smaller and smaller. A joyful noise. If I can keep not falling down up here. Let's go on. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. How do you really serve somebody? Think about it. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. He loves one or he hates the other. You serve somebody out of love. Out of love. That's how you serve. In John 14:15, the Bible says, Jesus is talking and he says, those who love me will obey my commandments. How do you show him you love him? Love your fellow man. Stop running your mouth about somebody. Stop talking about everybody has issues. Everybody has problems. Raise your hand up if you're perfect. We have smart people here. I knew y'all were awesome. Nobody's perfect. Stop trying to be. Stop trying to make everybody else be perfect. Because you don't realize what struggles they have, you've whooped a long time ago. And sometimes sharing your pain of what you got victory over is really what somebody else is needing to hear. Because they're saying, how can I get through this? How can I get over this? Lord, you gave me this. You said I couldn't do it. You're just waiting for somebody to give your testimony. It's great. Stop talking about the problems that you have and talk about the things God has let you have victory over. Amen. Give him praise and stop giving the devil praise. Because I get tired of hearing, well, you know, I used to do this in the past. And I hate that. I can't stand it. Who cares what the past is? We got to go forward. Matthew Henry said this, and I found this quote that Matthew Henry said, and he said it like this. We must be willing, forward-looking and glad to be coming to the house of God, looking upon it as the comfort of our lives, to have communion with God. We must be pleasant and cheerful in it. We must say, it is good to be here. Say, good to be here. Approaching to God in every duty as to God, our exceeding joy, we must come before his presence with singing, not only songs of joy, but songs of praise. 1 Peter 4:10 pretty much stays, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, everyone has received a gift from God. So use these gifts to serve one another as a good steward of God's grace. God has given you grace, and he's given you victory over the issues you have. He can help you with whatever you're going through now. If it's bills, problems, family issues, stuff like that, you never know what's going on. But give him praise. So keep going. Know that the Lord, he is God. And I had to remember David Ring's number. I couldn't remember his name this morning, David Ring. David Ring had an awesome saying that when we went to a men's conference that he used. You remember David Ring, the guy that, you know, was dead when he was born and we had him here and he was just awesome. You know, he had a good saying, duh. Y'all remember that? Duh. So I use that today. I'm paraphrasing. You know, I glean. I steal stuff. I tell you, if you say something great, I'm going to use it forever. Duh. Don't you know who your daddy is? Do you remember who your daddy is? He's God. He made the air that you're breathing. He gave you the ability to do the things that you do. He's God, so why are you worrying about it? He's got this. Why are you worried about the kid that is lost? Why are you worried about a family member that doesn't go to church? Why are you worried about it? But how often are you praying about it? I'm going to ask you something really tough. Have you fasted about it? God says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. How many of you have missed a meal for a loved one? How many of you have missed two meals for that lost child? It's more that, Lord, I put them in your hands. I'm going to give them to you. Josh, let's go to Zaxby's. Don't you hate it when it's quiet? But guys, who in here has a lost one? Who in here has a child that doesn't go to church? Stop just putting them in God's hand and do something about it. Pray for them. Fast them. You can't change somebody's heart. It doesn't matter what you say. It does not matter what you do. You can buy them everything they want. You can take away all their wants, their needs. You can buy them the biggest Christmas you can give them in the world. You know, you can give them everything. But have you thought about not giving them anything? Have you thought about saying, you know, why should I keep giving you money to go buy cigarettes? You don't even go to church. Why do I need to keep giving you stuff? When I don't give it to you, you talk dirty to me and you talk about me and, you know, I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad parent. You are an awesome parent by making them look to God for their source because you're not their source. I hate to tell you. And we have failed as Americans of being the full source of our kids and continuing to be the source. And it took me a very long time to learn that. And really going to Peru proved that to me. We've got 4, 5, 6-year-old kids. Their meal, is getting a stick and throwing it at a papaya tree, hoping they can hit one and knock it out. There's not a parent to give them 20 bucks to go to McDonald's. And I know that sounds hard and that sounds, you know, flame, but we've lost a generation. My generation, you know, how many people are in here between, let's say, 45 and 30? How many? Look at those hands. Look around. Hold your hands up high. Keep them up. Look around. When I was going to this church, there was 50 of us right here. Remember that? There was 50 of us. All my age in that age group. Can you imagine, guys, teenagers, can you imagine 50 teenagers up here? You remember that. You and Brother John and Sister Barbara were our youth pastors at that time. We've lost a generation by not pointing them to God. My mom and dad and my grandmother used to do some horrible things to me. They were mad and mean to me. I'm telling you, she's sitting right there, she can tell you, she was mean to me. She drugged me to church even when I was 16 and 17 years old. If I didn't go to church, guess where the keys to the car was going to be? In her purse, right? You remember that? She let me have those keys, and when she looked back and didn't see me, guess what? I got an earful. Do we do that today? I know this was not in my notes. I'm following the Holy Spirit, so we're gonna go with it because He's God. You know, we worry about going after and trying to find, you know, being single and all that kind of stuff with our youth and all that, and they go through dating things, and, you know, is this the right person? That's the right person. I'm sorry, I hate dating. I think it's of the devil. I'm serious. Do you know how many people, and you think about it, how many people, and I'm not talking about teenagers or nothing, I'm not going there. I'm going to our age. How many people, if you're dating or spending time with somebody, and you're trying to find that person that's with that the Lord wants you to be, He'll put them in your spirit, and you'll know. Because, you know, you got to think about it. Your daddy is the person that hung the moon. Stop trying to look for somebody that hung the moon in your life and search the guy and go after the one that did hang the moon. And when you do, guess what? It's going to hit just like that. I'm giving you some wisdom over here, guys. I really am. Because you got to understand, stop trying to search after the flesh. Stop going after the will of the flesh. Stop worrying about satisfying the flesh. And start satisfying the man that hung the moon and the man that gave you everything, that man that gave you breath. And when you go after Him with all of your heart, guess what falls into place? That job falls into place. The relationships fall into place. You know, I've got friends now that I call my best friends. I didn't have. I thank the Lord for a spider bite. I do, because I was lost on my way to hell. I hated everybody. I didn't care about nobody. I didn't give a rat's tail about my own parents. And I'm being real and revealing some stuff. I was lost. And it took somebody visiting me when I had a spider bite and a hole in my back where I was like, what else am I going to go through now? What else? What else? Thank the Lord for pushing somebody that was lost and putting somebody in their life to show them love. You know, not a church, not a program, not entertainment, not, you know, well, so-and-so's here, not no talk about thing, but just show love. Because we're not here to talk about other people or nothing like that. We're here to talk about God. We're here to show love. And that's how we should live. Now, I love everything. I could not explain it. You get to a point in your life where the people that hurt you, you love them more than your own family. Because God puts that in your heart. That doesn't come by a program, AA, or another person. Love doesn't come into your heart by just a program. It comes by the love of God and the Holy Ghost. You know, it does not matter. I look back now. Sometimes I can't even, people ask me things, and I can't even really remember stuff that's hurt me in the past, even growing up, kids, because you got to imagine. And somebody was asking me the other day about how I can get up here and do this, and I'm like, beats me. Every time I get up here, I ask God to give him to somebody else. I'm being serious. And I learned something from listening to other preachers. When you're nervous and you wish somebody would do this for you, that keeps you humble. That keeps you back to the Lord. And you got to understand, you got to keep that nervousness. You know, if it's to me, you guys hear me, I can't talk worth nothing. Why am I doing this? I have no idea. But I follow the Lord because I love you. Think about it. Who do you love? Can you love the prisoner in prison that's killed 5 people and raped 3 women? My flesh tells me he needs to be killed. He raised his hand against God's image. He raised his hand against God's daughters. I can't stand that. My flesh just... But only the love of God can have somebody to go in there that absolutely hates the sin, but loves the man that committed it. Because the one thing God put in my heart, he's his child too. And the devil twisted. Don't let the devil twist you. Don't let the devil put things, little things. We have people get mad at the least little things. Amen? You get so mad and all of a sudden you want to leave church. What's the church have to do with it? We come to worship the Lord, not a person. We don't come here to listen to a Sunday school teacher. We come here to get in his presence and lay our problems at his feet and bask in his glory. And when we are sick, we go to the altar and we pray. You know, I had one of my guys in my classes on Wednesday night ask me, sometimes I just want to go to the altar and pray. I said, well, why don't you? Well, everybody will think I'm a bald-faced sinner. Who said that? Just because you come to the altar to meet God in his house, this is a house of prayer. We've made it to a house of entertainment and not after prayer. It's time for us to get on our knees. It does not matter. And I told him, I said, if you feel like you need to go talk to the Lord on that altar, in the middle of singing, get your tail to the altar. If somebody has an issue in here by somebody going to the altar, Lord, hey, altar's open for you. Amen? There's a time where we've got to go after him with all of our heart. It's time where we got to put the crap of the world away and we've got to go after him with everything we've got. Because there comes a time where the only thing you have is at the altar. There's a time when everything is lost. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do with your boss. He's driving you crazy. Get to the altar. And we think, well, I'll just sit at the pew and all that. Let me tell you something about it. It's time for you to step out. There is something about going and stepping out and going after him. You can't get your problems done by sitting behind a pew. You got to get on your knees before the Lord. Stop worrying about what other people think. Worrying about what other people think will send you to a bad place. When I was growing up, I listened to a lot of guys hanging out with my dad and everything, hanging out with a bunch of guys. Well, I don't go to church, a bunch of hypocrites there. And I'm thinking about it. Well, yeah, there's hypocrites there. Who's a hypocrite? I don't know what that word means. What is that? You know, I don't know what that was. I came home and asked Mom, what's a hypocrite? And she had to tell me. What is that? Well, who's that? Who's there? I don't know. Who in here is perfect again? That's an excuse the devil puts in. You know, I'm not going to go over to hypocrites. Well, you're going to go to hell. But all that, who cares? Everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. Everybody falls. If you're perfect, God doesn't need you because he only had one perfect man. And he came to it. Let's stay focused. Josh, you take care of this. You can too, Terry. Come on. You know, there comes a time when you got to let the Holy Ghost move and just let him take it. Because you're looking at an imperfect being here. If you look in the mirror, you are too. I'm not perfect, Lord Jesus. But I know when I wake up in the morning, I tell him, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And you know, I don't struggle with the things I had before. You lay a beer in front of me, I laugh at you. You know, my work sent me to a a negotiating training. I had to learn how to negotiate. And, you know, the guys I'm with, so every meal, they're buying alcohol and everything. And you know, one of the guys took a picture of me and posted it on Facebook because we were at a table where the table come up to right here on me. And it looks real funny. But you can see his alcohol there, and you see my tea right there. And I had a guy ask me, you know, don't you feel bad? Don't you worry about, you know, being with people that drink alcohol? I said, no, who, if I'm not there, what light are they going to see? You know, we take this, you know, there's times where you're not supposed to, you know, if you go to the, if you're going to the bar and participating, you're not being very much light. But it's time for us to be light and salt in a dark world. There's time where there's more than just a shout. Because if you're living for the next shout in your life, you are missing it. You will fall, and you will fall hard. You know, my issue is when somebody tells me, you know, what do you think? You look good in that. Yeah, great. It doesn't match, but it's great. And you don't tell them it don't match. You know, that's, oh, God, I lied. Oh, Jesus. You know, Lord, forgive me. You can get victory over the least little issues you have by just giving him praise and knowing who your daddy is. Stop trying to be perfect. And I try to tell the kids on Wednesday night, stop trying to be perfect. And that was something that, you know, we've tried to live. Pentecostals are hard about that. You got to live like him, you know. You got to live in sin. You don't live in sin and all that. Live in sin. Don't live in sin. You go back and forth. You know, that's one thing you've got to understand. And I have great Baptist friends that tell me, you know, if you want to know something, you need to learn grace from how the Baptist is. You got to learn grace and know God's grace is awesome. The great thing about Pentecostal is that I'm going to tell you about the Holy Ghost and know when you can get victory over your devils. Because when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, I'm glad that the devil knows I'm up again. What you got? What you got, devil? Because there's problems and things you're going to be victory over, but it comes a time where you've got to take it by force, make a joyful noise and say, this is my day and I will rejoice. No matter what the hell I go through, no matter the problems I have, no matter the issues I have, this is my day. Say, my day. My day. I'm going to be thankful for it. Oh, that's good. I'm going to be thankful for it. Don't be afraid of your trials. Don't be afraid of the things that you go through. Amen? So, be thankful. So, if the team, if you start coming up, we're going to end this. Brother, I want to pray for you one more time. I love you. And I'm telling you right now, there's a couple of more up here. He went out on faith, and he went after and let the Lord use him. There's about four of the people that should have been up here. And the bad thing about mine, the Lord gave me discernment. There's four of the people that's got to be up here. So things to be thankful for. I'm thinking about it. I thank the Lord for the freedom and liberty to worship God. Because I'm working with a guy right now that goes to South China, Northern Korea. And I told him, I said, man, if you want me to go, we pray about it. If you want me to go, I'll go with you, man. I'm not scared at all. If it's God's will, I'll go. Because there comes a time where you've got, the devil's got to be more afraid of you than you of him. And some of us are worried about, Lord, what kind of trial am I going to have today? What kind of issue am I going to have today? The devil needs to worry about you lifting your hands up and praising. Amen? You think about that. The devil does not want you to praise his name. Because there's a secret I have to let you in on. Praising God is your strength. When you lift your hands up, it is your strength. You lift your hands up and give him praise and call out his name, it is your strength. All hell hates to hear the name of Jesus. You say Jesus in the airport, you'll get 100 people looking at you. It's time for us not to be afraid to use the name of Jesus. There comes a time where the only thing you've got is Jesus. It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your kids, it's not your family members, it's Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I thank him for the freedom to proclaim the gospel of Christ. I thank him for forgiveness, mercy, and grace that comes from God. I'm thankful for the love of God that he saw a stupid little kid, a horrible man, and he brought me out of the miry clay. What is miry? I've always wondered what miry clay was. It's got to be bad stuff. He brought me out of where I was. I thank him for the transforming power of God, which made all things new. All the provision of life that comes from God. I'm thankful for whatever I go, my God is with me. Amen. Every step you take, your God is with you. Everywhere you go, it doesn't matter what plane you get on or whatever, my God is with me and he's with you. I'm thankful for all the heartaches that I've had because my Jesus understands. Whatever heartache you've had, whatever pain you've suffered through, and you might be one of the 5% that's great and everything's perfect, but everything has a season. I'm thankful for the heritage that God gave me to guide me, to help me, and to follow him. And I'm thankful for all the friends and family that I have. I'm safe. I'm thankful for a safe, comfortable home. Who got up this morning and took a hot shower? I hope everybody. Aren't you thankful for hot water? There's not a lot of people that have that. I'm thankful for the peace and joy that passes all understanding. I'm thankful for a land that I live in that I didn't build, a prosperity that I didn't create, and a freedom I didn't establish. But God blessed me to be born in this country, and I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for the faith that I have, that my faith can get me through everything. I'm thankful for prayer, that God gave me a way I can commune with him and just talk about my problems, my issues. When I pray, I'm talking to you. I think sometimes me and him have arguments like, what am I doing? What are we doing? Pray to the Father. He wants to hear from you. We have 86,400 seconds in a day. How many of you spent saying thank you? Thank you. It's less than 1 second. Thank you, Father. I'm thankful for dirty dishes. And you got to hear me on this one. I am. I'm thankful for dirty dishes. I hate to see them, but they're a sign that the Lord fed me today. The Lord gave me when I didn't deserve it. When so many of his children did not have a dirty dish or even dishes to clean today. My God even gave me a dishwasher where I can just hit a button. He's awesome. Hallelujah. Count your blessings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the trials that I've went through. And you got to think about, are you thankful for the trials that you have went through? Because didn't they make you look at him? Didn't the trial that you went through, God, help me. I don't understand this situation. But I'm going to give it to you because I know you're my daddy. He's your daddy. The trials that you go through, though we may fall, get up. That's how, what makes a righteous man fall 7 times? What makes him righteous? He gets up. I thoroughly believe all trials grow us. Be thankful for them because they made you look at him when out of those 86,400 seconds, you hadn't even thought about him that day. And why do we think about him only in the bad times? We get busy with everything. We get busy with football, baseball, softball. We get busy with kids, jobs. You know, we get grandkids, all this stuff that goes on. Why are you always too busy to call out his name only when you need him? If you read Proverbs 1, he tells you that I'm going to sit back and watch you in your calamity, and I will not answer when you call my name. You think about that. With your whole heart, you seek him. He wants your whole heart, not half, not part, not everything. Stop worrying about what people say. Well, he's an idiot. He's stupid, all that. Stop worrying about that. Well, people might talk about me. My Lord, they talked about Jesus. Have you been beaten today? Has your hair been pulled out? Have you been spit on today? Has somebody that you lived with for 3.5 years gave you a kiss on the cheek and cut your throat and said, here he is, take him. 30 pieces of silver, what is that, $5? Have you been done that way? Have you? Thank him for the trials, because I don't think none of us have been through what Jesus has went through. And he sat on that cross and said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. The guys that were beating on him, spitting on him, and doing that stuff was having a ball. They were having fun because they'd done it so many other times. But they didn't know the back that they beat was the one they were beating for their own healing, for their own salvation. I don't think none of us have been done that way. So why do we worry about somebody talking about us or saying something? Who cares? There's going to be a day when you stand before God, you're going to wish you had not worried about what other people said and worried about what he says. God loves you. He loves you so much. James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. In closing, last Sunday, God gave me a revelation, and I didn't have it in my notes. I've never thought about this. I was thinking about when I was very little, we were sitting at the breakfast table, and my sister was actually pestering me to death. My sister would grab my cheeks and make them touch. Oh, he's so sweet, you know. You can imagine a big sister doing that to you. And I grabbed a gallon of milk and poured it over her head. She's the one who had to rebuy the milk, and she's the one that whooped me over. But the Lord gave me a revelation. We worry about spilt milk all the time. We worry about the problems that we have. We worry about the issues that we do, the failures that we do. When we fall, we feel guilty when we get to church, and we're, you know, you can really sit back and see who's had a rough week because, you know, they're kind of, you know, I don't want to praise him. You know, I've had a rough week. I don't know. When you have a rough week is when you raise your hands and say, devil, kiss my tail. And you might think that's harsh, but we live in a harsh world. You got to start giving the devil what he gives you. You can't worry over spilt milk. You can't worry over the things that's happened in your past, over the issues that's went on. When you spill milk, what do? You grab a rag, you wipe it up, throw away the rag, and buy more milk. Stop worrying about what the problems that you had, the failures that you had. Clean it up, lay it at Jesus' feet, buy more milk. Would stand, please. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this day, God. Oh, Father, Lord, I glorify you. I praise you. I give you this day, Father. And Lord, take these words that I've talked about Lord, take it and use it. In my feeble attempt to follow you, Father, Lord, I ask you, God, to use them, Father. Lord, I ask you, God, to come into this place, Father. And Lord, I praise and magnify your name, God. I ask you, God, to touch and bless everyone in here. Lord, I praise your name. I bless your name, Father. Oh, God, I ask you right now, if there's one here that's lost, if there's one here that's going through a trial, Father, Lord, let them find you at the altar, God. Lord, I ask you, God, to use them, Father. Convict their heart, Father. Oh, Father, Lord, let us stop putting Band-Aids over our problems and start laying them at your feet so you can put the healing oil on them, God. So, Lord, I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you would, keep your heads bowed. If you're sitting here today, it's been a while since you've prayed to him. It's been a while since you've called out his name. You're more worried about what other people think about you than what he thinks about you. This altar is open. If you are sick, if you need healing in your body, this altar is open. I'm not going to beg you to come forward. My Jesus don't have to be begged. You expect him to come to you when you call. He expects you to come to him when you need him. So right now, with everybody's head bowed, if you need prayer, come on. If you need healing, come on. Sister Joanne, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Sir, in the third row, I want to pray for you that came forward. I want to pray for you. If you won't mind, come on. I want to pray for you. I want to hug your neck. And I'll meet you, brother. Man, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Come here. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I love you, Father. Oh, God, Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I thank you for your healing.
Bless his holy name. done great things. He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things.